Good morning, church. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond when you're called? Gigi and I have noticed in recent weeks that our two-year-old grandson's world is expanding. It now includes the ability to not hear us when we ask him to do something. That's how some folks respond when they are called. As you become more and more familiar with the narratives of Scripture, or perhaps if you've ever taken disciple Bible study, you've become aware of this truth. God is calling you. And when God calls you, you don't have to have a degree in theology. It just takes saying yes. The foremost aspect of God's calling upon your life and mine is this: to invest God's love in someone else. Now, I freely acknowledge that investing anyone's love into another person is risky. Investing love in another person requires my time, my vulnerability. What if they don't accept my love? What if they don't reciprocate my love? Someone once made a movie titled "Love is a Many Splendored Thing," and that is true, but it is seriously risky as well. Risk is where Joseph suddenly and unexpectedly finds himself. He finds himself in the middle of a dilemma: marry Mary or leave Mary? Does he take the risk or does he walk away to protect his reputation and honor? How Joseph responds to God's call is instructive for you and me. Joseph wakes up from this perplexing and disturbing dream. Matthew's gospel tells us what he did next. In verse 24, we read, "When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her, Mary, as his wife." Now, we're so familiar with the story that we often miss how incredibly risky this was for Joseph. To take Mary as his wife is to take upon himself ridicule, dishonor, loss of reputation. To take Mary as his wife was to forfeit the Jewish title of Tzedek, righteous one. This was a deeply coveted, hard-to-obtain title that made Joseph stand out among the citizens of Nazareth. He was a serious Torah keeper. He was intent on obedience to God. Because of this, people in the community held him in high honor, high regard. To take a pregnant Mary as his wife was to lose the title Tzedek, to lose his reputation that brought him honor and the respect of the people. And yet Joseph doesn't hesitate. He did it now. He obeyed. Folks, this is the takeaway for us. God is at work all around us at all times, and he calls us to partner with him in what God is doing. This call to partner with God is also a call to obedience. Dr. Maxie Dunham, a giant leader and preacher within Methodist Wesleyan circles, once said, "There are some things God cannot and will not do unless God's people partner with him." Now, this is not an assault on God's sovereignty, but rather acknowledges the way God has set up his divine economy. God wanted and needed Joseph to be part of his plan of redemption. God wanted and needed Joseph to be a part of Mary's and Jesus' life. God's work of incarnation and redemption included Joseph saying yes to God's calling, and saying yes meant Joseph was ready to obey no matter the risk. Now, I hope you'll hear me on this. Obedience is not a duty thing. Obedience is not a fear-driven thing. Our obedience is a love thing. Fast forward in the Gospels to John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his passion. Listen to what he says to them. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He doesn't say, if you fear me, you will keep my commandments. He doesn't say, if you want to honor me, you will keep my commandments. He doesn't say, it is your duty to keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, friends, keeping commandments is kind of an obedience thing, right? But for followers of Jesus, our yes to God is rooted in and informed by love. First and foremost, God's love for us. The hymn writer, Isaac Watts, captures this when he penned the lyrics to his hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. This is what he says. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my soul, my all. Listen to that again. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my soul, my all. We love God because God has first loved us. That's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 tells us. We love God. Why? Because God first loved us. Joseph obeys the call of God because he has cultivated within his life the foundation of Judaism, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That was the heart of Joseph's faith relationship with God. That might sound strange to us because it sounds like someone is commanding us, love God. How can you command someone to love you? If you've ever watched the movie Bruce Almighty, there is a sad yet hilarious scene in which Bruce, who now has the powers of God, pathetically commands his former girlfriend, played by Jennifer Aniston, to, quote, love me. I command you to love me. She walks away with a sad look of disgust on her face. And like her, we get it. You cannot command someone to love you, and yet this is what the Bible calls us to and roots obedience in. What do we do with this? Decades ago, I took 4 semesters of New Testament Greek, and I will assure you, I was not a stellar student of the Greek language, but I do remember a discussion of why in the New Testament the call to love God is written in the imperative tense, which linguistically is the tense of commandment. My professor, Dr. Robert Mulholland, said with passion, I might add, that loving God is so foundationally essential to the Christian faith that the best and only tense form available in human language that expresses this foundational essentialness of love is the imperative tense, the language of command. The love of God and loving God are core, essential, foundational. The love of God and loving God are the epicenter, the starting and ending point. Any other epicenter will distort our relationship with and response to God. Joseph understands this. So much of this story of Joseph and Mary and the angel's appearance in a dream doesn't match up with Joseph's dreams and plans. It's not what Joseph would have talked about if you had asked him about his dreams and plans when he and Mary were first engaged. God's call to love him, that is to love God, the call to love Mary, whose life is now in a very different place and condition, the call to love God and Mary was also the call of obedience to what God was doing to love and to redeem the world. Talk about costly. Talk about uncomfortable. Talk about risky. Yes. And the call to love can be like this. I am absolutely convinced that our love of comfort and control are two of the leading barriers to our ability to be and to become a people who are called by God's love. Comfort and control make our agendas more important and powerful than what God might be up to and to God's call for us to partner with him. Comfort and control hold us back. We can be comfortable with comfort. We can be comfortable with bitterness and comfortable with wounds. We can be comfortable with control and its ability to shield our image, protect us from being let down, hurt, or possibly moving us out of our comfort zones. Growth and change are hard, and wow, was Joseph on a steep growth and change curve when he was called by God and God's love. But friends, he said yes. He was obedient, and his yes to God, his obedience to God's call, has touched even our lives today. We're still reading his story and being amazed by it and challenged by it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and church leader who was executed on the direct order of Adolf Hitler, once said, "One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons." Boy, is that true of Joseph, but it is also true for you and for me and for us, the church. I'm wondering how the world might be different if we, even in this coming week, were attuned to the call of God, a prompting, a still small voice, a sense that nudges us to act, to do something. It might mean a phone call, an email, or text, writing a card. It could be a gift, an act of advocacy, an act of welcome, an act of contrition, an act of generosity. It could be so many diverse things, seemingly small or grand or somewhere between those. But they can all be acts of yes to the divine call of love. This pandemic has taken so much from so many, and we're not out of the woods yet. But I've wondered, and some of you have asked me, well, what about Cornerstone? What about our future? Can you see how comfort and control can keep us and keep the people of Cornerstone from what God might be calling us both to? We're so tired. We just want normal again. There's been too much change, too much chaos and disruption. I don't want more. I want normal. Friends, God was at work all around Joseph, and God invited Joseph to partner with him in the great salvation God was fashioning in and through Jesus, God's Son. God is still at work all around us, and God continues to call us to partner with him in his redeeming, reconciling, creation-renewing, prisoner-liberating good news of salvation work. Love is calling us. May we, with Joseph and with Mary, awake and say yes to this call of divine love. I invite you to join with me as we pray. Loving and redeeming God, we confess we're tired. We're tired of masks and social distancing. We're tired of the chaos and disruption. We want our normal back. We want familiar faces and familiar, comfortable rhythms. Forget new things you have in mind. We just want our lives back. This is our confession. And now we pray, forgive us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. God of good news, God who is and will renew all of creation, wiping away all tears, welcoming the outcast and marginalized, God who sets people free and heals our wounds, God who is at work all around us, even as we pray, give to us hearts like Joseph. Form within us such a deep awe of your wondrous love that we will find our hearts expanding toward you and to your kingdom's work within our lives and through our lives. Hear us as we proclaim to you our yes of loving obedience to your calling. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen.